Our scripture readings this morning come from two different psalms that at first seem very different. One is filled with joyful celebration, and the other is a heartfelt prayer for justice and protection. Psalm 105 calls us to praise publicly, to sing, to proclaim his wonderful works, and to seek his face continually. Psalm 17 reminds us that even in life's struggles, our deepest longing is not merely for God's blessings, but for God himself. We learn that praising God is more than just music, and seeking is more than just asking him for help. Yet together, they teach one beautiful truth. Whether we're standing on the mountaintop or walking together in our lowest valley, the greatest calling that we have is to sing praises to God and to continue seeking the presence of God. When worshiping and trusting God become a part of our daily lives, our faith becomes stronger, our witness becomes brighter, and our hearts become more and more like Christ. Let us turn together to Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given. You children of his servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Psalm 105 is a historical psalm written as the psalmist looks back over Israel's history and remembers the faithfulness of God. From his covenant with Abraham through Joseph's imprisonment, Israel's slavery in Egypt, the Exodus, and eventually their promised return into the promised land. But why would the psalmist spend so much time remembering history? Because believe it or not, God's people have always been prone to spiritual forgetfulness. Do I hear an amen? Yeah, I know. Come on, keep with me. Israel forgot God's faithfulness, or God's miracles. They forgot his provision in the wilderness. They forgot his promises. And y'all, if we're honest, we often do the same. How quickly do we forget yesterday's answered prayer when today's problem arrives? How quickly we forget God's provision when a new bill comes? How quickly we forget his peace when anxiety comes knocking at our door? Think about how often we replay our worries in our minds. We can remember disappointments with amazing detail. But Psalm 105 encourages us to remember something different. Verse 5 says, "Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given you. Remember answered prayers. Remember unexpected provisions. Remember moments when God carried you through your grief. Remember times when he gave you peace that made no sense. Remember when he forgave your sins through Jesus Christ." Memory strengthens our faith, and when we remember God's faithfulness yesterday, we can trust him with tomorrow. Many families have old photo albums that are tucked away in closets under years of dust collection. When you pull out one of those old family photo albums, something amazing often happens. You begin remembering birthdays, vacations, grandparents, even childhood memories when your little ones were young. Some pictures make you laugh and might bring a smile to your face, while others might bring you to tears. Those pictures remind you of where you've been. Psalm 105 is essentially God's family photo album. Every miracle is another photograph of his continued faithfulness. Every answered prayer is another reminder that he has never and will never abandon his people. When we remember his faithfulness, our fears begin losing their power. To look back and see gives people a proper measure of the God that they serve. To look back and see is to remember the mighty acts of God in order to move forward in hope. In order to press forward, one should not be so naive as to go into the unknown, into the future, without any awareness of what happened in the past. The psalmist is recalling and reenacting and refiguring the past as seeds that will later help to construct, figure, and shape the unknown future. That's why Scripture repeatedly tells us to remember. Remembering is not simply looking backward. It isn't just remembering the good old days, as good as they were. It's strengthening our faith for today, for tomorrow. Every testimony becomes another reminder that God remains faithful. That's why the psalmist begins, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds." The first part of the psalm that I just read is a liturgical act, and essentially it serves as a call to worship. When we say the name of God, we are responding to God's love. As we respond to God's love, our first liturgical gesture, the first words that are uttered from our mouths, should be that of thanksgiving. The psalmist calls people to first and foremost give thanks to God. He knows the God that he serves, and he's aware of God's acts of love and care throughout history. And in order to prepare for what is coming, he starts with thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist also alludes to the fact that worship is never private for long. It begins in the heart and moves to the lips, and suddenly, before we know it, it reaches the world. As we verbalize our faith, a stream of actions in our adoration is marked as we give thanks, as we call upon God's name. As we make known God's deeds, we sing praises, we tell others of God's wondrous works, we give glory to his name, we let our hearts rejoice, we seek his presence continually, and we remember God's works, miracles, and judgments, and essentially, we look back on where we came from. Praise is always moving outward. Praise isn't something that we simply feel, it's something that we do. It's, in fact, something we were actually created to do on a daily basis. Sometimes we wait until life is going well enough before we praise God. We think, when my prayers are answered according to the way that I'd like them to be answered, then I'll praise him. But Scripture teaches us the opposite. Praise comes first because God is worthy of our praise first. The psalmist doesn't begin by listing life's circumstances. He begins by focusing on God's character. God is faithful. God is holy. God keeps his promises. God has never failed his people. Why would he start now? That alone is reason enough to sing and to praise. Verse 4 says, "Search the Lord and for his strength, continually seek him." Notice the psalmist doesn't say, "Seek God's blessings." He says, "Continually seek him." Y'all, there is an enormous difference. It doesn't say, "Seek him occasionally." It doesn't say, "Seek him only on Sundays," or "only when you're in trouble," or "only when your life feels like it's falling apart," which is kind of every day. It says, "Continually." God desires a relationship with each and every one of you, not an occasional visit. Many people seek God's hand because they want his blessings, but Scripture repeatedly tells us over and over to seek his faith. Many people seek what God can do, but far fewer seek who God is. For example, we often approach prayer like a shopping list. "Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me fix this." Now, don't get me wrong, those prayers are important because God wants to know every single one of our concerns and he wants us to lay them at his feet. But prayer is much more than asking. Prayer is communion. It's conversation and it's relationship. Think about Moses for a little bit. After leading Israel through the wilderness, he could have asked God for victory or wealth or comfort. And instead he prayed, "Lord, show me your glory." Moses understood that God's presence was far more valuable than God's gifts, more precious than power. It was more meaningful to behold God's presence than to seek anything else. We seek God, but God is not to be possessed. We can't tie him down and hold him for ourselves. We'll never quite grasp all that God entails. We long for God. We reach out for God. But as soon as we get our questions answered, I don't know about y'all, but I suddenly discover a whole bunch of new questions for him. The pleasure of God is in the not quite having God tied down, right? Our God is as elusive as the events that we have in our history's past. Therefore, we continually seek fully and intentionally. We seek God and not some other divinity because of what happened in the past. We seek this God instead of relying on our own initiative and energy because of what he's done in the past. We seek this God and we trust this God because God has a resume much longer than the longest psalm in this book. God has acted repeatedly, generously, graciously, always intervening on behalf of his people. Our hope is found in being able to stand in the river of time and be swept forward on the holy waters that have been flowing toward us for quite some time, all while praising God. Now let's turn to Psalm 17 together. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By the mighty power you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Because I am righteous, I will seek you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This psalm was written by David, and though we don't know exactly which crisis inspired it, we know that David experienced many. He fled from King Saul. He hid in caves. He endured betrayal. He suffered heartbreak within his own family. He knew fear. David wrote this while being surrounded by his enemies and surrounded by injustice. He was under pressure. He was misunderstood. He felt threatened. Yet ultimately, what he asks for wasn't revenge. It wasn't comfort. It wasn't wealth. It wasn't even safety. Through every trial, he continued seeking God. David begins by asking God to hear his prayer. He asks God to examine his heart. He asks for protection. And then he says something remarkable. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. Notice what David does not say. He does not say, I will be satisfied when my enemies disappear. Or I will be satisfied when I become king. He says, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. This is mature faith. The psalmist has no fear of facing God. Perhaps all the suffering and the struggles that he's been through brought in their wake a grace-filled audacity that David now has. Perhaps, like Job, the psalmist has lost everything there is to lose except God. Nevertheless, the psalmist points us beyond suffering, beyond the enemies, beyond the struggle to a promised place of peace before the face of God. Now, as Christians, we usually read these psalms through the light of Jesus Christ. When we want to know what God is like, we look toward Jesus. What we see is compassion, holiness, justice, forgiveness, and love. Most importantly, we see the cross. At the cross, we discover that God's love is not merely spoken, it is demonstrated. Jesus bore our sin, he conquered death, he rose again. Because of him, we can approach God's throne with confidence. The veil that once separated sinners from God's presence has been torn. Hallelujah. Now we may behold his face, not because we deserve it, because surely we don't, but because Jesus himself made a way. Many of you know that I just came back earlier in July from taking our youth to Camp Eagle. Next week, we're going to do a camp recap for you, so you'll get to see all the fun we had and hear more about it. But before we get to next week, I just want to tell you a little bit about one of my favorite parts of camp, which was worship. Now, the hymns, the choir specials, the handbell pieces, the cantatas, basically anything that has to do with music has always been my favorite part of any church service that I attend. Music just has a special way of speaking to my heart in a way that helps me understand what God is probably trying to already tell me, but my head is too thick to get through it. It often evokes emotion while still teaching theology. Sometimes it feels as though the music being played matches the inner rhythm of my soul, and if I'm lucky, it might unlock a memory or two from the past. But at camp, there's just something different about the feeling that is evoked during worship. This year, our band that we had, and it's almost different every week, so our band had literally never practiced before together before arriving at camp, which for those that know musical things, that's wild. But somehow, they were phenomenal. Between all four of them, something just clicked, and they played like they had played together all their lives. They gave us a great musical selection throughout our week at camp, somewhere around 20 different songs, which usually we get 4 to 6. So that's a real treat, y'all. It kept us engaged and singing the entire time we were there. But what made worship one of my favorite parts of camp wasn't the band or the number of songs they played, and it wasn't even what songs they actually played. It was about how the Holy Spirit moved within each and every one of us as we worshiped God together. We all felt like we could genuinely and authentically worship God without being held back by anything. We weren't worried about putting our hands up to praise him. We weren't worried about singing at the top of our lungs. We weren't worried about other people watching us while we worship. It only mattered that we were singing praise to God and worshiping him with every part of our being. Now here's where it really gets good, because as a sponsor, it's an absolute joy to accompany these youth and to watch them grow in their faith journey with God and with others, and especially with themselves. But it's an even greater joy to watch them fully worship God like they never have before. By the end of the week, our kids were worshiping with their eyes closed and their hands as high in the sky as they could go. Sometimes they gathered together in a circle, and all they did was sing and sway to the music back and forth. Other times, tears were rolling down their face. The Holy Spirit had moved them so much. Throughout those times of worship, we verbalized our faith as we gave thanks to God. We called upon his name. We sang praises. We shared our stories of God's wonderful work in our lives. We gave glory to God's name, we rejoiced within our hearts, and we basked in the presence of God after seeking him day after day after day. To stand back and to watch these youth worship and sing praises unabashedly and without fear was to behold the face of God. It was like seeing a little glimpse of heaven right there in front of me. Psalm 105 ends with these words, "Praise the Lord." The story is so powerful that the psalmist cannot do anything else but praise God for what God has done throughout history. From the time he begins his psalm to the time that he ends, a song of praise and thanksgiving is within his heart. This is the measure of his heart, the theological thoughts of his mind. It is the liturgical actions of his body to praise, to sing, and to seek. In this season and in every season, we are called to start and end our days with thanksgiving and praise. Between our daily mornings and our evenings, we give thanksgiving. We call on God's name. We make known God's deeds. We sing praises. We tell God's wonderful works. We glorify God's name. We let our hearts rejoice. We seek God and God's strength and peace continually. We remember God's works, miracles, and judgments, and where we came from. This morning, we're going to remember what God has done for his people, for the body of Christ, and for all humanity as we partake in Holy Communion together. And we're going to figure out exactly where we belong in that larger picture as we continue to seek God to find out who he is and what he means to us. It is then that we will behold the face of God. So as we leave this place, shortly, not now, let us be people who praise God with joyful heart, who seek his face above all else, who live every day with the confident hope that one glorious day we will see God and behold him face to face. Until that day comes, may our lives continually echo the words of the psalmist. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing to him. Seek his face continually. Amen. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give praise to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophet. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He blessed it. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer that the Lord had taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to invite the servers to come up, those who are helping serve.